Rhonda's already pointed to, you have sung some songs that have had incredible meaning. And you mean it. You mean it. Well, we'll be beginning in Matthew 28, 18 and 20. It's where we've been for the last couple of weeks. Today would be part three of our Vision, Mission, and Covenant. The strategy is baptized. And we, as some of you are starting to figure out, we're in a new beginning. And we've adopted our new constitution and a few weeks ago. And now we're looking at the strategy. We think we find the strategy, or not think, we know. We find the strategy in Matthew 28, 18 and or through 20. And, you know, the Great Commission is one of those things where you're like, ah, oh, we've heard this sermon so many times. And this isn't merely a sermon. This is a strategy that Jesus has given us. And we're in week three looking at it. And in it we find four imperatives. We find go. We find share. Now, you might, it says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. And so how do we make a disciple? Well, we share the good news. And then it is Christ who builds the church. It is God who draws the people. And it is the Holy Spirit that dwells in us and works through us. But how do we do that? We share the good news. We talked about that last week. We'll review that in just a moment. But today we get to the third imperative, which is baptize. And then the fourth imperative is to teach. And we'll look at that next week. But here, this commission was given by Jesus Christ to disciples that Jesus had poured his life into. They were ready. Church, are you ready? These men, they believed, they were committed, they had been taught to share the gospel. Well, if you've been following the email that we've been doing, it's been all about the gospel. Yesterday, it was pictures of just what does it look like. And I hope y'all got that. And it was just spending time with people, pouring into people. And I imagine that while Jesus, in the culture that he lived, the dress looked a little bit different. The color of their skin may have looked a little different. But it was that, pouring life, pouring truth, sharing the scriptures, sharing the gospel with everybody that was in their path, with whoever the Holy Spirit put on their heart to do so. But these men, these disciples, and even the women who followed him, they were aware of their mission and they were prepared to be sent. Church, are we prepared to be sent? We say that, and I wrote on my hand because I didn't have a piece of paper, but it says, wherever you lead us, I will go. And then we sang about, I surrender. Do we really? And that's what we're looking at today, about surrendering. And let's read, if you will, with me, the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. It says, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, so far, like I said, we see the four imperatives there, to go, to make disciples, but we share and baptizing and teaching. And so far, we've looked at going, and we go because of we are obedient to Christ. We looked at that the last couple of weeks. James 1:22 tells us, but prove ourselves to be doers of the word, not merely hearers who delude themselves. To be doers of the word. And when we read this, church, when we read this, then Jesus says these things, and we read Scripture, and we read the words of Christ. Do you think he really meant it? Do you think he really meant it? And if he really meant it, does that mean something to us? Did he really mean it? Well, I believe we would say, of course he did. But does our life reflect that? Does our feet follow what we believe? Next, what we looked at the last few weeks is, as we go, we begin in prayer, and we looked at Ephesians 6:18, and I'm pulling you up together because this is part three of it, and so we're going over parts one and two real quick. But we looked at Ephesians 6:18. It says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petitions for all the saints. And it was the context of the holy armor. Church, are you ready? If you haven't figured it out yet, we are standing on the Word. We are making proclamations and we are making statements that many churches don't make, or if they do make, they really don't follow. Believe me, look around, do the research yourself. The American church is in trouble. And we're saying we're no longer a part of that. We're standing on the Word of God. And I tell you, the enemy doesn't like that. Are you ready? Church, are you praying? Are you praying? Because you're making, we have voted on a vision. We've voted on a mission. We voted on a covenant that has eternal ramifications. And we've made a statement, and the enemy knows that statement. Are you ready? Are you prayed up? And then last week, we share with the next generation. As we go, we share the good news, and we talked about the good news. Remember the acrostic of gospel, which I thought was kind of neat. It says, God created us to be with Him. Our sins separate us from God. Sin cannot be removed by good deeds, and paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. We're going to be talking a lot about that today. Everyone who trusts in Him alone has eternal life, and life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. And we said, as we go, we share through our testimony what Jesus Christ has done for us. And then we not only do that, but we share through our lifestyle. And then as we go, we share through our love, because as we'll be seeing a lot today, there is a transformation. We are a new creation. We used to be one thing, but through Jesus Christ, we are a different thing, and we should act differently. We can't say that we're over here and, yeah, we believe in Jesus. We've been baptized. We've been whatever. And then act differently. It can't happen. Those were the points that we looked at last week. And the last few weeks, we've come back to verse 18 and 20 in the Great Commission. That as we share, we go in Christ's authority. And then as we share, we go with Jesus Christ. That's a fact, a promise that He has given us. But again, what if Jesus really meant what He said? What if He really meant it? Today, we go into part 3. Again, the strategy given by Jesus Christ, which we see is baptism. And I tell you, today we're going to be talking about salvation. We're going to be talking about baptism. We're not going to be looking at the theology of it and break, well, I guess it's all theology, but we're not going to, about this and that, denominations. We're not looking at that so much. But we as disciple makers, how do we know and view baptism, and how do we share that? How do we make this a part of our life? What does it mean? That's what we're going to be looking at today. But some of you, maybe you haven't come to the point where you believe in Jesus Christ. Some of you, maybe you haven't come to the point where you're ready to be obedient in baptism. Today I'm going to give you the opportunity to come up front. And it's going to be hard. I'm praying, I have prayed, that you'll have courage to do so. But first, before we get into talking about what does it mean to baptize, before we get to our listening guide or what it means as far as our strategy, what is baptism? Well, we know that the word baptism is a transliteration of a Greek word baptisma, which comes from a word called which is bapto. Now, if you follow and you do word studies, it's your Strong's concordance. It is the word. It's number 911. So I don't know if that had anything. It would be really cool if like the word for salvation was 911. I think that would be really neat. But it's the word 911, and so write that down. But the word bapto, and in the Old and New Testament culture, back in the ancient times, I guess if you want to call it that, the word was used often, but it was used often with like clothing, and you would bapto, which was to immerse, to submerge, to go under, to dip, to put completely or wholly, that's WH, like as in entirety, under the water, used in, like I said, with cloth, like as if you were washing it, or if you were dyeing the cloth and making it a different color, and so it would be either cleansed or changed. But let's not, I want to tell you that baptism does not cleanse or change. We're going to be talking about that in just a moment. But And then also there's a vegetable. And they found that one of the earliest records that they found of this word, it's in reference to a vegetable that they would dip or submerge for quite some time, and it would come out a little different. Can anybody guess what that vegetable might be? No, it was a cucumber. So a cucumber, we submerge it, and it comes out a what? A pickle, yeah. So that one of the verse, and now, so don't say that you're being pickled, okay? We're not talking about that. But the language was to submerge, to dip, to put under, to soak, and it would be something that would bring cleansing or would bring change. Now, thinking of these word pictures, these examples, think about the meaning of baptism. Again, now, baptism does not cleanse or change a person. And you're like, wait a minute. So just listen closely. But I tell you, it symbolizes. It symbolizes what Christ has done in a believer's life. You're going to be hearing that word a lot. Symbolizes. We're also going to look at the word substance. Now, in coming to Christ, we are immersed by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And it is only through Christ that we have this cleansing, this changing. Just as this cloth is changed by its dye, and just as the cucumber is changed into pickle, when we are immersed by the Holy Spirit, when we come to belief in Jesus Christ through faith in that, that is when we are cleansed on the inside and on the outside and how we act. We have a new identity, a new life in Christ. But just again, as the new cloth and the new cucumber now have a new use, a new purpose, so us, when we come and we, through faith in Christ and the filling of the Holy Spirit, we now have a new identity, a new purpose. We have been changed by the Holy Spirit for a new walk and a new life with and in Christ. Again, baptism symbolizes this changed life. Now, what baptism is not? Baptism, first of all, does not wash away sins. You're like, what do you mean? Well, follow me to Ephesians 1. We're going to look at Ephesians 1, verses 7. And we're going to look at the first part of verse 8. Ephesians 1, 7, if you're following me in your Bibles. If not, it'll be up on the screen. It says, in Him we have redemption, not through baptism, but through His what? Blood. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His what, church? Grace, which He lavished on us. This salvation, this cleansing, this washing away of sins we see here comes through God's grace and through Jesus' blood. Let's follow me to Titus, if you will. Titus 2. Titus has been getting worked out this last couple of weeks. Titus 2, verse 11, and we're going to look through 14. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, not baptism, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly. Do y'all see? I want you to follow it. And I'm sorry, I'm breaking from the scripture for just a moment. There is a pattern that will be in everything that we read today. Not what I'll say, but the things that we read in Scripture, that there is a way that we once were. Then there is salvation. There is the symbolization through baptism. And then there is an expectation of us being a new creature in Christ. Follow with me in this, if you will. Where was it? Well, I'll just start over again. Verse 11 in Titus 2 says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Do you see it, church? Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus, or Christ Jesus, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify Himself a people for His own possession, zealous for good deeds. There's a difference, and we see it's again, it's through grace and because Jesus Christ gave Himself. And if you'll follow me one more place for this point with 1 John 1:7. 1 John 1:7. Says, but if we walk in the light as He, that's Jesus, Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and listen to this, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. It is the blood of Jesus. It is by the grace of God that the blood of Jesus washes us of our sins. Next, we see that baptism is not a means of salvation. We have seen that it doesn't wash away sins, and it is not a means of salvation. So often, tell me about your spiritual journey. Tell me about your relationship with Christ. Well, I was baptized. Okay. I was 12. Okay. Tell me about when Jesus Christ changed your life. I was baptized. What does that? No. No. Do you get it, church? We got so many people walking around, and that's probably what's wrong with our American culture, the American church in our culture, is that we got so many people that they were baptized, but they never received the substance of salvation. Let's talk about that more. Let's read Acts 4, verses 10 and 12. Join me there, if you will. Acts 4, verses 10 through 12. Here it says, "Let it be known." I'm sorry, I hear a lot of pages still going. It says, "Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands here before you in good health." Remember, it's talking about Peter and John, but we'll talk about that in just a moment. "He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone, and there is salvation," listen to this, church, "and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that which has been given among men by which we must be saved." That is it. That is Scripture. That is not my words. It's Jesus. It's through Jesus. He brings salvation. And finally, let's look at Acts 10:43, just a few pages over. Acts 10:43. That says, "Of him all the prophets bear witness." That means all that is written in the Old Testament, everything that leads up to this point, all these things that were written hundreds or thousands, even years apart, by different authors through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it all comes together to point to Jesus Christ. "But of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins." Not everybody who is baptized, but that believing in who, church? In Jesus Christ, exactly. Come on, we can do better than that. That hurt me. I can't move that. Believe in who? There we go. All right. Wow, everybody who believes in him. Everybody who believes in him. The only good thing that is in our life, and the only good thing about us, is that Jesus Christ, through the grace of God, died for our sins, and it is through him and the belief in him that we, and his blood that washes us clean. You know, let's take a moment, and I want to read the context of this. We read verse 43. Let's go ahead and let's read 42, and let's go all the way through the end of this chapter. Listen to this. Listen to the substance as it moves to the symbol. Verse 42. "And he ordered us to preach." This is, I believe, it's Peter talking here. They've ordered us to preach. Well, what is that? That's the Great Commission. That's the Great Commission. That's what we're talking about here. And he's saying, "And he ordered us to preach." And they thought and they believed that he meant what he said. And they're doing it. They're obediently carrying out the Great Commission. "And he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead." And then it speaks of what we just read. "Of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins." Now listen to this. "While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who were listening to the message." The Holy Spirit, that is the substance. The substance. "And all of the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed." That means the Jews. "Because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out onto the Gentiles also. There is almost, this is a picture, and in other places in Scripture we'll see in a moment, they have been baptized, they have been filled up with the Holy Spirit. This is the substance that brings salvation. This is the substance that changes lives. And it says, for they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. And then Peter answered, surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he? And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to stay on for a few days. See, it wasn't the baptism by water that brought the change. It was the substance. It was the changing, the filling, the washing of the Holy Spirit through the belief in Jesus Christ. But then it was symbolized through water, baptism. And we'll talk about that a little bit more as well. Changes their lives. Changes their lives. The substance and then the symbol of it. Next, we see that baptism is not necessary for salvation. It's not necessary. We've already looked at the call of salvation is a call to repent and to believe in Jesus Christ. And this repent, let's talk about that. It means a turning. That means I'm living like this. And then Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, calls me to believe, calls me to this faith, and I submit my life, and I repent. That means I turn and I go a different way. My life looks exactly opposite of what it used to. But I repent and I turn and I begin living in obedience. Does it mean I live perfectly? Oh, absolutely not. Pastor, you're not perfect? I'm not. I don't know if y'all thought that or not. I got a feeling y'all have done figured it out that I'm not. But we try, and we obedient live for Him. 1 Thessalonians 1:9 and 10, just write that down. I'm going to read it real quick. For they themselves report about to us what kind of reception we had with you. And this is Paul writing to the church of Thessalonica. And it says, and how you turned to God, how you repented, how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God. In verse 10, that says, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead. That is Jesus who rescues us from the wrath to come. Salvation is through Jesus Christ. Believing in the gospel is the substance of our faith. And this baptism that we're talking about today is the symbol of that substance, of that salvation. Like, well, if we don't need to be baptized for salvation, then why is it important? I tell you, baptism matters. It matters to God. It matters to the believer. It matters to the body of Christ. It matters to the world. And why do we do it? And that was the introduction, which brings us to our point. Now, it doesn't mean I'm going to go long. It just means that these next points that I have, there's six of them on your listening outline, and we're going to move kind of quickly. And so, why then do we baptize? How does it matter? Why is it an imperative and to be a part of our strategy as we go about sharing the gospel of Christ and and partnering with the Holy Spirit and allowing Him to work through us and sharing the gospel and making disciples? Why does this matter? Let's look. First of all, we baptize because of Christ's command. It's Christ's command. We just read it in Matthew 28. In verse 19, it says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is part of Christ's command. Next, we baptize because of Christ's example. Jesus started His ministry out with being baptized by the water. And this was a practice, but it was not, we won't go into all this and break all this down, it was not part of the law. It wasn't something that He was doing away with, but it had to do it. Well, let's just look at His example. That's a whole other sermon. Let's look at His example in Matthew 3. Look at Matthew 3. I'm in Daniel. That means I went too far. Matthew 3. We're going to look at verses 13 through 17. It says, then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered, or answering, said to him, "Permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he permitted him. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Jesus was baptized by water, and the Holy Spirit rested upon him. Now remember, it said as a dove. It didn't say that it actually sent a dove, but as a dove would light upon somebody. Next, let's look at John 1. Looks at John 1 and see his record of Jesus' baptism. And we'll look at verses 29 through 34. But John 1, 29 through 34. It says, "The next day he," this is John the Baptist, "saw Jesus coming to him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he on behalf whom I said, after me comes a man who is a higher rank than I. For he existed before me and I did not recognize him, but so that he might be manifested to Israel, I came baptizing in water.' John testified, saying, 'I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him, and I did not recognize him. But he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, He upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God.'" This is he that brings the substance, that through the water will be a symbol. Well, next we see that we saw that we baptize because of Christ's command. We baptize because of Christ's example. And that we see next that we baptize because of Christ's life. It's kind of neat to think about. In the beginning of his ministry, Jesus was baptized. And then as he was being, right before he ascended into heaven, he gives the Great Commission and he says to go and do the same. Not because of just simply the symbol, but because when the symbol is present, when the symbol is truly present, that means that the substance has taken place and there has been change. There has been change in a disciple has been made through the power of the Holy Spirit. But we baptize because of Christ's life. Let's talk about the symbol for just a minute. Now, the act of baptism and how I understand it in Scripture and it's an immersion in water. We just talked about the cloth that goes completely under. We don't halfway clean the cloth. We don't halfway dye the cloth, unless you're doing tie-dye. Or you don't halfway make a pickle. You immerse. You put it under. But it's a, and you could baptize in a pool, in a creek, in a baptistry, the Gulf of Mexico, a bay, anywhere that is water. I've heard of some of our soldiers out in the desert being baptized in a 55-gallon drum. I've seen folks being baptized in a trough before. Some people, they baptize in a coffin-shaped water holder because of what it symbolizes. And let's talk about that. Let's join me, if you will, in Romans 6. Romans 6. We're going to look at verses 3 through 5. Romans 6, 3 through 5. It says, "What shall we..." I'm sorry, that was 1. "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore we have been," listen to this, "buried with him." Try to imagine this, a person taking place and this being a symbol of Jesus' death and resurrection. "Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into his death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of his Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection." You see, baptism is a picture of what Christ has done for us. It's an ordinance, much like the Lord's Supper. If you know, we take the juice, or in some places they actually take the wine, the fruit. They take of it because why? It symbolizes the Christ's blood that washes us clean. And then we take of the bread. Why? Because of Jesus Christ's body that was broken, that was hung on a cross. He died for our sins. Because it's a symbol of the gospel, of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Baptism, too, it's symbolic of Christ's dead body being taken from the cross, being placed in the ground, being placed in the tomb. The rock was put over it. He was underground. He was dead. He was buried for 3 days. He went under completely. But then he rose again. He rose again. And there's another sermon, and then out of Leviticus, and how this fulfills sacrificial requirements of God. But he remained in the ground for 3 days. Can you see it? Jesus was laid in the ground. Somebody who said that through the substance of Christ, the substance of the gospel, through the substance of the filling of the Holy Spirit, that I have joined my life, that I have died to myself. I go under. And then I have been raised in newness of life with Jesus Christ. Now the word we immerse, as Baptists, we immerse. That's what we're about. We immerse because the word means to immerse and what the word means. But we also immerse because of the symbol, because Jesus was fully buried. He was immersed into the ground. Now, I'm not going to judge a man or a woman if they've been sprinkled, because God knows the heart. That's an issue of the heart. But if we're truly trying to show the reflection, you know, Jesus didn't just have some dirt sprinkled on his face. No, he was immersed. He was placed in a tomb. He was sealed, and he rose again. We baptize because of Christ's life. Next, we baptize because of our salvation. Now, baptism is for believers. There's a practice through many Christians, through many denominations, and it happens often that people feel they got to be baptized because it's important, because of the symbol of what it means. But if we get baptized without the substance, if we get baptized without the changing of the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit, then we're just getting wet. It is still symbolic, but there is no change in your life. In salvation, we join Christ in eternal life. We just say the substance in the water baptism, again, is symbolic. If you'll read, let's read. I want to reread, and I'm going to extend it out, if I may. Romans, what we just read in Romans. I'm going to read exactly the same scriptures, but I'm going to go through verse 11. Following me with this, please. Or do you not know that all of us have been baptized into Christ Jesus, have been baptized into his death? Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we might too walk in newness of life. I love that. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Notice it didn't say free to sin. It says freed from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. There's the substance, the changing, the repentance, the believing in Jesus Christ. And then there is the symbol of water baptism. Right, we just saw that we baptize because of our salvation. Now we see that we baptize because of our testimony. Again, like I just shared, it's a symbol. And as we go through, it's a symbolic act, and that occurs after what was written in our own covenant, which says we have experienced the calling. the acceptance, the forgiveness, the redemption, and the restoration of God our Father through a personal commitment to Jesus Christ. This happens first. This change, the substance happens first, and then the symbol shows it. I'm sure you're getting that. Let's read Romans. Let's look at chapter 10. Chapter 10 in Romans. Chapter 10 in Romans. We're going to look specifically at 8 in verses 8 through 10. Verse 8 says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is in the word of faith which we are preaching, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that Jesus raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in what? Salvation. I don't know if you've paid attention to what, but most pastors say. I know what I say when we baptize somebody. We look at them, and I stand right there, or I stand wherever I need to stand, wherever you want to get baptized. And I say, do you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? Did you get that from that scripture? And then they say what? They say yes. If they say no, which I've never had that happen because I try to counsel very well before we get to this point. But when they say yes, it's the what? It's the confession. It's the confession to what they believe. Yes, they are confessing to the substance. And then we go and we bury them. We immerse them. We raise them in newness of life. Oh, they confess with their mouth. I hope it, if you didn't understand it before, I hope it's coming. The picture is coming together. It's beautiful. It's the gospel. Then after that I say, then I baptize you, my brother or my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because why? Because we saw in Matthew 28:19, we just read that. It commands it. But you know what's important about that? We baptize into His name. It shows us who God is in His triune nature. And it shows us how we relate to Him as God the Father. We're His child. We talked about that Wednesday a little bit, very briefly. And as God the Son, Jesus, He is the Lord of Lords. He is the King of Kings. And we are obedient subjects in His kingdom. Even now, His kingdom is here. It's in our hearts. But it's coming permanently soon. But then as the Holy Spirit, we relate to Him because we have a perfect teacher. We have a comforter. We have a guide that dwells in us. I'm going to tell you, this symbolic act of baptism helps us recognize not only who we are, but the fact that we belong to Him, that He is our Heavenly Father, that He is our victorious King, and that the Holy Spirit is our faithful companion. That's why we do it. I may, again, I know I've been circling around the same scriptures today, but there's a reason for it. If we continue with what we've read in Romans, we're going to read through, we've stopped at 10, so we'll start at 11 through 13. It says, for the scripture says, whoever believes in Him will not be disappointed. If you're on the fence and saying, hey, you know, in dealing with this salvation stuff, it says, whoever believes in Him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on Him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be what? Saved. Saved. We baptize because of our testimony. And our baptism is a testimony. And while in America it's just become something that we do, in many nations, especially the Islamic nations, this is very meaningful, and sometimes it requires your life, and it usually means intense persecution. Next, we baptize because of our commitment. First of our commitment. Think about this commitment, church. Commitment. Commitment. Do you believe Jesus said what He meant, or He meant what He said? And if you come and you unite yourself with Christ, do you mean what you say? Do you mean what you sing? Do you mean when you read this word, when you look at the vision, when you look at the, the mission that's based on this word, when you look at the covenant, which is 100% based on this word, is there a commitment? That's what we're looking for, a commitment. Why? Because we will never, never, never carry out the work of Jesus Christ and His gospel. I was about to say across the world, across the nation. We won't even get across the street if we're not committed. We won't. Do you get it, church? We have got a commitment to die to sin. That means we're done with sin. We're done with the old life. There's got to be a commitment to live for God and His will. To live for God, for His will, for what He wants for us. Well, I don't know it. Well, seek it. It's a commitment to live a repentant life. That doesn't mean a perfect life. That means that a life that when you mess up, you repent. And we move forward. It means a commitment to obey Jesus, our Lord, in all that He taught. In all that He taught. Do you believe that He meant what He said, church? It says it's a commitment to obey Jesus and all that He taught. Not some that He taught, but all that He taught. Lonnie, this is radical. Pastor, how are we supposed to do that? People don't do that anymore. Well, if I'm your pastor, this is how we do. I try to. Don't you? And if you don't, why not? Come on. It's real. It's life. There's no other way. I don't care if we look different. I don't care if I look different. I don't care if people don't like it. It's what we've been called to. And I don't mean that with an attitude. I mean that no matter what, I have to die to myself. I have to live for Him. And it's a commitment to live in community with baptized believers. That's why this covenant is so important. We're a community of baptized believers. We're looking at membership now. That's where we are in the bylaws as we're rewriting those. We're writing membership. Well, what does it mean? What is it? Not rewriting it. We're exploring it. Not that we can create something new. But we do have folks that have not ready to come into a commitment to the body. But they have come to a point where they believe in Jesus Christ and they're going to heaven. You know, you don't being a member of this church should mean that you're going to heaven if you've been counseled correctly, because we do that through the substance that we've been talking about, through the change and the belief that we have. We are going to heaven, and so there's a covenant relationship that we have through Christ. But then there's an organizational relationship that we have that say, hey, we are going to do things as a body. We're going to be unified for the purposes of carrying out the gospel. And guess what? When some of us get out of shape, we're going to go and we're going to help them. We're going to love them. And we're going to bring them back. We've read so many scriptures about that. But it's a commitment that we've made as genuine baptized believers. And then it's a commitment to be transformed inwardly. He said, you know, these sounds a lot like our covenant. Scripture. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. All of it. All of it. And as I'm wrapping up, last verse here, Luke 9:23-24. I'm just going to read that, write it down. If anyone would come after me, these are the words of Jesus Christ. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. In essence, the true cost of commitment to Christ is self-denial, cross-bearing, and a continual following of Him. These imperatives that we talked about, this imperative specifically, speaks of sacrifice, speaks of selflessness, and service. We're called to commit to God. We're called to commit to one another. We're called to commit to the Great Commission, to the church. We're called to commit to follow Jesus Christ. And as you look on the back, which you don't have to do that now, but yeah, I trust you've looked at that. But we're asking folks, this part of, when we're leading people into discipleship, we're asking them, will you follow? And then when they say, yes, I will follow and I commit, and we ask them, will you seek? Will you seek? Will you go further? Will you walk with the Lord? And that's what I ask you today. will you follow? As Rhonda's coming and Felicia's coming. Will you follow? Will you believe? These are the questions we've looked at the last several weeks. Will you believe? Not because I said it, but because the Word said it. Will you follow? Will you follow a Christ who shed His blood and died for your sins? And if you've come to that point, will you commit through baptism? Will you commit? We've got to get to the substance first. That's when I said, will you believe? Will you believe? Then next, will you follow? Then once we get to that point, will you seek? And that takes us to next week. So I ask you that today. And I'm going to be here. And this is just a time of reflection as Felicia plays softly. I'm here. I'll pray with you. Somebody else can pray with you. Now, if it's talking about salvation, well, we're going to talk a little bit longer, more than just the 30 seconds up here. Talking about baptism, we're going to make an appointment so we can talk further about it. If you have questions, let's make an appointment. Let's talk. Don't leave here today without dealing with the substance of Jesus Christ and the outpouring of His Holy Spirit. And then don't leave here if you're being called to be obedient, of being following in the symbol of water baptism. Let's reflect.